You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to the edition of CardsCast. Second straight week we've been able to do this, which is exciting in itself. It's the Cardinal Authority Podcast. I'm senior writer Michael McCamma, joined by publisher Jody Demling. This is a big Cardinals got their season opening win over Western Kentucky. Looked pretty good. There was things they still need to fix. Things certainly stepped up a few notches this Saturday as Miami, ranked number 17th in the country, comes into Cardinals Stadium from the 18th ranked Cardinals. Game days, prime time on ABC. Second weekend, Jimmy. This is pretty second weekend of the season.
No doubt about it. The non-conference season's over already. I mean, it was quick. It happened before we knew it. And quite honestly, Michael, this is it's two ranked teams, but next week it could be two unranked teams because the way the polls are going to be, I'm not sure if they're putting the Big Ten back in yet, but whatever they do, these are two really good teams. I think it's two teams. When you look at the whole ACC as a whole, I think it's two teams that really have a chance. Both of them have a chance to make it to play Clemson in that ACC championship game. Everything's going to have to fall right, and Notre Dame's in the mix, and that makes it more difficult for Louisville and the others. But these two teams, Miami and Louisville, I think are 3-4 and 5 with North Carolina. I think you throw those three teams in a hat right now, in a box, and pull them out, and any way it comes out, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I just think that these two teams are both pretty darn good.
Yeah, obviously we can talk about the Notre Dame effect probably on another podcast, but they've kind of been treated with gloves, saying here's the championship game, but I think they're going to find their road a little bit more difficult than many are expecting. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the winner of this game certainly has, I would say, a foot ahead of everybody else, because this is one of the more challenging games on the ACC schedule across the board this year. So if you can get a win here, and Louisville currently, I think, a 2.5-point favorite, it's basically a toss-up game in my book. Then that's massive in your chances of getting to that ACC championship game. And obviously, as we know, Louisville originally is scheduled to play Clemson, does not this year. So, this is a big game for the chance to potentially, as we all expect, play the Tigers later in December for the title game. But it should be a thriller. I mean, I think what Louisville's faced last week in Western Kentucky with Piggy T, their quarterback, Tyrone Pigram, and his ability to run and throw was kind of a nice setup. But what they're going to see this Saturday in Miami, Miami's a little bit more up-tempo of an offense, which I think maybe something we should discuss as well. But obviously they've got the big transfer from Houston, De'Aaron King. Very nice, dual threat quarterback. He's got a FBS record for, I think it's 18 games in a row where he's thrown and ran for a touchdown in a game. So that tells you his ability. So should be another one of those games where the defense has got to keep track of that the quarterback as well as try to slow down a really difficult running game.
All right, a couple things about that. When we did our transfers, Louisville's going to watch, the two top transfers that we had on that list were De'Aaron King and Quincy Roche. And I think Quincy is probably the best that they're going to face. Yeah. When you really look at him, and that's leaving out Jalen Phillips, who is a former, five-star guy who transferred from UCLA and is the other end on the defense for those guys. So they've done a really nice job. Manny Diaz has. I know they've done a good job in recruiting. They've got a great class coming in next year again, but they've done an even better job of getting some transfers that can help them right away. And King is the one that gets all the accolades, but I do think the two defensive guys are guys that are difference makers, big time difference makers, and Louisville has to know where they're at all times.
Yeah, I mean, Quincy Roche coming over from Temple, I think he leads the FBS, since he's been in college for total sacks in his career, and he even picked up one last week against UAB in his Miami debut. So, Mikhail Cunningham, nothing against Western Kentucky's defense. I mean, they were a top 25 group last year, and most of them are back and have a great defensive end themselves and put up, obviously, a formidable challenge. But again, it goes up another level when you get to a team like Miami. And if you look at the depth chart that we posted at Cardinal Authority, I've added in there, what their prospect rating was, how many stars they have. And you look up and down that defensive, both sides of the ball for Miami, but really on the defensive side, it's pretty much nothing but four stars, So the expectations there, for Miami to be an extremely good defense this year.
All right, let's stay with Louisville offense first in the Miami defense. Look, I think you're going to see, remember last year, that game, Louisville outgained them. Louisville had almost 500 yards of total offense, but they had 14 penalties. Remember all of the holding penalties and the couple of bad snaps that TJ McCoy had in that game. I think it was the game when Cole Bentley actually kind of took over towards the end of the game, moving on the rest of the season last year. I think they had some false starts and stuff like that, but 14 penalties for 121 yards. They had three turnovers. You're going to see what we saw last year, I think, a lot of quick hitters, a lot of things where Mikhail gets the ball out of his hand in a hurry, one way or the other, and they will stick with the running game and try to run it more in the middle than they will on the ends, because you can't against these two ends. They're just too good to run on the outside, in my opinion. But if Louisville can do that, I think they can be successful again. I'm not sure that this Miami defense, I think it's going to be better than it was last year, but it's still so early in the season. I'm not sure how much better right now they are than they were last year. And Louisville kind of had their way with them. So if Louisville can execute what Scott Satterfield's game plan is, I think they can score some points.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And obviously the emergence of Braden Smith last week, Des Fitzpatrick going over 100 yards last week, and then Tutu, obviously a threat every time the ball is coming towards his hands. That should, probably make Miami's defense approach this game a little differently than Western Kentucky did, where they certainly filled up the box and said, let's stop the run and make them beat us through the air, which Louisville clearly did. I think Miami totally knows, especially from the experience what we saw last week, hey, we've got to slow down. This is more than just Tutu and occasionally Des. All three of these guys, and not to mention Justin Marshall and some of the others, and Ian Pfeiffer, Mr. Touchdown, and Marshawn Ford. It's a passing game. They're going to have to deal with, and so I agree with you. I think they're going to see some quick things and get the ball to guys like Braden Smith and Tutu Atwell, guys that can create with their speed and their elusiveness and get into the open field and hopefully try to stretch the defense out a little bit, and Javion and Hassan can kind of do their thing. So. I like their chances this week offensively.
I do. I'm interested to see this week. We talked about it when I was on the radio last week, and Craig Swaback pointed it out at one point. After Braden Smith made those couple of catches, he wasn't in there a ton with Tutu Atwell. But when he was in there with Tutu Atwell on the same side in the same formation, they then a couple of times late in the game had Jordan Watkins on the outside of those two guys. So it was those three guys over there. And I mentioned it one time on the board. I'm excited to see what they were, because every formation is building something. Every time they put somebody out there, it's to see what the defense does, see how they react. And then down the road, they're going to use that for a play or some sort of play. And I'm excited to see what they can do with Jordan Watkins, Braden Smith, and Tutu Atwell all on the same side at the same time, because that could be a lethal kind of that's just a lethal speed dose for an opponent out there. So I'm excited to see how they build on last week and some of the things that they tried on offense.
That's almost scary having those three lined up next to each other, because that's speed on speed and pick your poison, especially if they come out and they're able to get the ball to Jordan and he produces quickly, and that's going to even create even more headache. And then you know, you've got Dez to go across the middle or even stretch the ball or stretch the field, you know, down further. So, again, you know, I like their chances offensively. McHale looked great in the opener, 343 yards, three touchdowns, ran for another one. You know, he looks improved over what he was, this, you know, to his 12 months ago. And it looks like he's just going to continue to build that. I mean, he's just a humble, confident guy that just continues to build within the Scott Satterfield offense. So, like you, I think if they cut down their mistakes from last year, we're going to see a much better result. Not necessarily the offense can't win this game by itself, but it would certainly narrow that window. And then, you know, obviously, the defense has got to pick up their end of the bargain as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think defensively, I think you'll see the improvement this week. I'm not sure. You know, look, Miami's a tough opponent to stop. Miami's a tough opponent to totally stop because they've got so many weapons. And, you know, those running backs, I mean, they're not household names yet, but they will be. I mean, those guys can get after it. And I'm excited to see what happens and how it goes for the Louisville defense to kind of get going. Derek King possesses – he presents a different challenge than what Louisville has seen in quarterbacks in a while, in my opinion, because I think he's a better thrower than most people give him credit for. And if you watch him, he had some good receivers at Houston, but not the greatest receivers at Houston. But now he's got some speed guys. I don't know if he still has really great receivers at Miami because they're not as talented as they were. I mean, Brevin Jordan at the tight end is one of the best in the country. But other than that, I'm not sure what he has to work with there. But he never really puts his receiver in a bad position. And I think that, to me, that goes to show you just how good he is and how difficult he is to defend. And when he does that, then he takes off running. I mean, he's a special talent, and Louisville's going to have their hands full with him, and I'm interested to see how Brian Brown plays against somebody like King.
Yeah, you know, and I think that the key is, and as you pointed out, he could beat you with both his legs and his arms. But to me is, if I'm Brian Brown, you know, I'm going to make him beat me with his arm. You know, and not necessarily because he can't do it. I think he totally can do it, but I'm not completely sold on all of Miami's wide receivers yet. Other than, as you mentioned, the tight end and Brevin Jordan, he's certainly somebody they've got to keep an eye on, you know, from start to finish. And he can hurt you in a lot of ways and a lot of times if you're not careful. You know, but if they're able to get, if King's able to start running around, and then Cameron Harris and the younger guys behind him in that backfield, you know, start picking up big chunks, it's going to be really difficult to keep them off the field. And last year, as we saw, I mean, I think six of their seven touchdowns or so, they had so many, you know, had at least one play that went for 20 or 25 yards or more. And there were like three or four that went for 40, including one that was a one play drive with 67 yards. So, I mean, that's an area they certainly have to break, you know, cut down, that you got to limit those big plays. And they're an up-tempo team. They're going to be one of the fastest offenses that Louisville's going to face, in the country this year. You know, so you've got to be able to slow them down a little bit. And I think to do that, you're going to have to try to make, you know, get them in those long second and third down situations.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, this is going to be the major test for big plays. You know, everybody talked about last week. Well, look, last week was Western Kentucky. Louisville should have beaten them. And they did. They did what they were expected to do by about what you and I expected them to do it by. It was pretty close on our scores. We predicted it pretty close. So they were expected to do that. They hold their. We just want to see a step forward, and we want to see how the defense does react or how the defense is different than it was this
time. Losing you there for a second, but I mean, certainly the offense and defense have got to pick up their games, and they showed a good step, you know, in that opener. The third phase, you know, of that game, the special teams is certainly an area that's got to play significantly better, and really, really just in the punting game. You know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that you've got to see some special teams improvement. You've got to see some different things. Sorry, my connection cut out there for a second, but got to see some special teams improvement if you're Scott Satterfield, and not just the punting, but the punt. I think the punt return, you got to get better yardage. You got to get better yardage on punt return. You got to get better yardage on some different things of what they've done. I mean, you've got to improve. If you're Louisville on special teams, you've got to take advantage of that kind of stuff. And you're also playing this week. You're playing a lot better return guys because of the speed that Miami has. So you got to take advantage of that and not let them get returns. The one thing that I was impressed by Louisville last week more than anything on special teams, I thought, because I didn't know how this would work out either, is the kickoffs. I thought Brock Travelstead did a really good job of making sure that the kickoffs were, if not in the end zone, pretty darn close to the end zone. Now, I know the staff wants him to get a little more hang time on those things. It was kind of line drives on a couple of them, so get him a little bit more hang time, and I think he'll be better off. But, yeah, that's where they got to take advantage of it, Michael.
Yeah, you know, so basically what we're saying is eliminate your mistakes, whether it be, you know, offensive line or false starts or holding, whatever. Defensively, you know, don't give up those big plays, and on special teams, don't get the ball blocked right at the goal line. You know, those kind of things. And I think that you're going to see a much better outcome, at least in a lot more exciting game than we saw last year down at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a good thing if we're not talking about the punter all week for Louisville next week, because that means he won't have had one blocked or dropped one. So that would definitely be a positive thing for Louisville. All right, so you can get our picks, you can get our game day coverage, you can get preview, you can get all kinds of things at CardinalAuthority.com. We will have live updates from the game. Both Michael and I will be in the stadium, which you can't take for granted these days. Because there's not many people in the stadium actually covering the game, only about a dozen people or so. But Michael and I will both be in the stadium covering the game for CardinalAuthority.com. We will have all the latest from Cardinal Stadium before, during, and after the game later today. For Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demling, the publisher. Keep clicking CardinalAuthority.com. It's the Cards and the Canes, and should be a lot of fun.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football, wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.